Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody beat.
I go in with one thing in mind, and then they're like, sounds like we need to deal with some stuff with your parents. Everything sort of, and I, my last therapist,
The manager at the fucking store.
Yeah. I was almost like too defensive. Like the therapist brought up stuff about my family dynamic that I actually was not ready to hear and deal with. Mm-hmm. And I just fired her. But this was the one who was young.
Okay, cool.
She brought up stuff and I was like, oh, I...
Interesting.
I'm mad at not my parents.
I didn't realize that like that is also part of the therapist's job is to like gauge whether you're ready to like swim into that pond yet.
Yeah, and I wasn't. And now I am. But the reason I am now is because circumstances have changed and I emergency session have to be ready to deal with it.
Okay.
It's, you know, like it's reached the point where it's either I deal with it or... one of my parents and my relationship will like cease to exist.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're dealing with it.
Yeah. And it's helped me so much. And both of my parents are in therapy individually for
That's
the first
amazing.
Time. And so I'll say things to them and they'll say things to, and like all this to say, my parents and I have a wonderful relationship. Like I just told you I want them to live in my backyard. I mean, codependency is one of my issues.
Yes.
And so we're all
dealing.
I just
told you I wanted to get it extra California king bed so that they could sleep with CJ and I.
But like
we've never been better.
Poor CJ. But he likes them a lot.
Of course. They're so sweet.
Yeah, they're lovely.
They're like the kind of parents that you like want to go have a drink with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, that is what I'm dealing with. But truth be told, the wedding really pushed a lot of that to the forefront.
Can you talk about it?
So my dad was diagnosed. He had prostate cancer like a few years ago. Uh-huh. And then unfortunately, through the surgery to treat that, they just ended up not getting all of it. And so I guess it probably was like a year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with bone cancer. The prostate cancer had spread to other parts of his body.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, that all happened. And there's also the thing too, my mom is a nurse. Uh-huh. And that's like everyone should get to have a mom that's a nurse because they clean up shit.
Well,
like,
that's
it's nothing.
Like also the personality type. Whenever I talk about like women needing identities outside of being a mom, it's like someone whose job, whose chosen job is to be a caregiver. Yeah. It's like, well, that's like.
Oh, and she's like an amazing, like talking on, like we'll talk to anyone on the phone for hours about like their ailment. Just like she is Florence Nightingale of Central Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, like sometimes she can sort of selectively tell us what we need to be told so we're not afraid.
She's taking care of you.
She's taking care of us.
Not looping you in.
While also taking care of my dad. While also my mom has MS. While also taking care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
None of us, my brother, we all live a plane ride away.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a long drive.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. And that is like a lot on her. But she doesn't want to put any on us. But you do, you know, like it's not possible for her to take it all on. And so the ways that she puts it on us, it exhibits itself in crazy
different
ways.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Totally. Like just being fixated. And so then the wedding sort of like gave her an out to focus some of that energy into. And a lot of it was positive, but undoubtedly
but
some
stuff.
Of it was negative.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's very hard to be planning a celebratory thing when someone you love and the person who's also like paying for a lot of it is sick.
Yeah.
And my dad also struggles with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so all of that sort of everything that everyone was dealing with got ramped up. Mm-hmm. And so like the cancer ramped up, the mm-hmm. drinking ramped up, my yeah. mom's like issues with any of that ramped up. And it came to a head sort of in a good way before the wedding, because I was able to say to both of them, this is a positive thing. Like, you got to check whatever weird stuff. Listen, I'll talk about cancer. I'll mention the cancer in my vow. Like, you know, it's not like I'm not trying to like whitewash the cancer, get it out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But like their behavior around the wedding was tough. And yeah. and so was mine to some extent. And so was CJ's to some extent. Like one is killing it on every front.
Talking about everyone coming with their expectations. Yes.
Yeah, entirely.
Yeah.
And that is just one of those things, you know, birth, death, wedding is kind of the things that tend to be huge triggers for
birth,
people.
Birth, death, wedding, like kind divorce. Of your first time on the giddy-giddy.
Yes, but first time on the giddy-giddy.
Below deck reunions.
I was also thinking today, you know the Justin Bieber song, Yummy Yummy? I was thinking that you should do, you got that goody-good,
that
goody-good,
that goody-good, goody-good, goody-good.
All morning that was playing in my head, and I was debating, do I bring
That's
it to
fucking
her?
Brilliant.
Do I
that
not?
Should be the new opening, and we'll just change it enough octaves so that we don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, can you add like
we
the
got
mass
that goody,
singer?
Goody, 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 good.
good.
Oh, thank you for sharing that true, real, real giddy giddy of the behind the scenes of wedding. Because it's like a. Yeah, it's like everybody's vacationing into this place that they have this like idea. It is like a group vacation, but
yes.
on steroids. And
yeah,
so expensive.
It's also really sad when it ends. Like mm-hmm. CJ was like,
oh
everyone
God.
We love is here. And then they all left at the same time. Like usually there's like a trickle out after
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it's like boom, boom, like
yes.
gone. They're
yes.
gone.
Yes.
And CJ lost. Oh, I don't know if his mom's not going to listen. CJ lost something extremely important to him.
Uh-huh.
And so the day after our wedding, he's crying. Oh. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I've married a man who hates me. He just keeps crying. Like, isn't it the woman who's supposed to be crying? Like, what did I do? And CJ's just like walking around.
Oh,
I'm like,
looking for the thing.
Fun shoes. And he's like, he didn't even like care about shoes.
Found it?
He did find
it. He did find it. Okay.
He did
good.
Find it like right before we left for our honeymoon.
Amazing.
And
it was his penis, guys.
It was his penis.
It was his dick. And
oh,
obviously,
it truly
he
was
didn't
because
want his mom to find out he lost his.
We were
dick.
Not. We did not consummate the marriage until he found his penis.
Yeah, that makes sense. No one consummates marriages
with oral.
In the first with oral.
With oral?
I think that, I mean, like, if you're having sex the night of your wedding,
nah.
like, what are your friends up to? Watching? Like,
no, we were with like, our friends
yeah.
until, like, 2 or 3 a.m.
Shauna fell asleep in the lawn. Like, she had, like, made
I got
like a
completely naked. I mean, besides my Spanx, I have no underwear on because it would show a line. So I have Spanx with like a Brazilian. And then luckily, dear Will Miles took off his shirt and put it on me because I was just like naked in a hot tub in front of my friends on my wedding night. CJ took off his pants. I mean, yeah, it was.
It was a good fun naked time. Yeah, packing up sucks.
Oh, it's so bad. We went on our honeymoon right after, and I think I like needed that just to have endorphins
of
positivity.
That's so nice. We ended up staying in Vermont and like riding little mini horses
Great.
Through maple syrup farms, and that was really cute. And then we went away. Then we went on our honeymoon a little bit later.
Where'd you
go
on your honeymoon?
Well, our parents gifted us their timeshare in Cancun. So
nice.
We went to like an all-inclusive in Cancun, which is like not the dream, but it was relaxing
yeah.
and nice. And then we went to Tulum, which was when we discovered Tulum, which was amazing. But we got in a huge fight in Tulum, honeymoon fight. And I think it was like also, it is that, you know, like in therapy where we talk about like the physiology around a thing
yeah.
being oftentimes like the major driver of a disagreement that it's
yes.
not like the it's never about
what
the
you're
thing.
Arguing about
yeah but like yeah the physiology around being newly married and like also being in a beautiful place but then something doesn't feel right it's like
right.
oh well, this is fucked you know it's like it's amplified it's
yeah.
like but
when if you were to just be like at home, you would not be fighting.
Yeah. Or just, yeah. Or just like the, I mean, how has it been just like being newly married? It's like,
it's been really good.
It's like euphoric. Yeah. Also, I mean, oftentimes,
I think
like
we've gotten in one, like,
see, I think what I mean is like the fight that you get into after you're newly married.
Yes.
It's the same thing as being engaged. It's
we
like,
got in a fight 10 days before the wedding, like a knockdown drag out. I like slammed his laptop. He said I fucking spiked it like Gronk. I threw a channel changer. I told him to get out of the house. He's like, we both pay for this. I'm like, I told him to call the police.
Call the police?
Yes.
Oh my God. And he's like, oh God, it's going to be a fucking lifetime.
Like when I went for my final fitting, they were like, how are you doing? I was like, the groom and I are not speaking. Like it was a buildup of, I don't even, oh, you know what? It was about pie, but like, it wasn't about pie.
It was about pie.
It was about, but it wasn't about the pie.
Yeah. Shauna and I have an iconic fight about chicken.
Okay. Yeah. This was about
what are the
pies.
Give me the beats of the pie. Just okay, the pie. So put it on the pie.
The beats of the pie were CJ was like, CJ was in charge, I guess, of the rehearsal dinner, but okay. CJ's basically in charge of these pies that were going to be at the rehearsal dinner that we got from Cindy's, which is our like
favorite
his favorite,
spot.
Favorite pie spot. And so I'm like, did you tell Ashley what pies you got? So all he needed to do was communicate which pies had been ordered so Ashley could make like cards for them. I mean, this is.
And he said, and so I'm like, do you mind slamming my laptop?
I'll do it late. Like, I'll do it. I'll do it when we get home. And so we had like gone to get our marriage license, our rings, like had like a nice.
So the physiology
check
is sort
day.
Of a little bit like you're doing a lot. You're handling
I'm
a lot.
Doing
and he's in charge of like sending the flavors of
four
the pies.
Things.
You're doing
like
four things.
He has four things. I have 1 million.
You have 1 million. Yeah.
And I'm also like financially more.
He has four things. I have 1 million.
Yes.
The story of every woman.
And so he like does it. Like, I'm like, have you. He mailed up on the pie. And he's like, no.
Why are
and
you
then
panting?
I got attitude. And CJ's least favorite thing is me giving attitude. And obviously one of my favorite things is giving anyone attitude. You know, so that's something that we deal with. And so he's like, why are you being like so crazy about these pies? And, you know, so then I go full James Kennedy. It's not about the pie. You know, great, like slamming things. And it was about me feeling like I had so much on my plate and him being having nothing.
Yeah.
And then a friend gave me very good advice and they were like, you are the CEO of this wedding.
Yeah.
So like you're the boss. So when you want something done, it's done. Like he doesn't have the leeway to like do things on his own time for this because you're the one taking everything on financially, mentally, task wise.
Yes.
And so I just communicated that to him. I was like, when I say I need something done now, you do it right then. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're taking a shit. Suck it back up.
Yes.
Get you in your office, tippy tappy typey, and get it done. And then going forward, no pie issues.
Well, the interesting thing is and Shauna and I's latest couple, we've been to couples therapy 3 times. I highly recommend it. It's like really romantic and sweet. The last time we went was the first time that we went when it was like, I'm reporting you.
Oh yeah.
But,
okay.
But it was so productive and good. And one of the things that I learned in that couples therapy was that I need to start being like, I'm taking, well, I guess it's like whoever is taking on a lot in that moment, and it shifts because there's different expertise. There's different like pinks and blues. But that I needed to learn to be like, I can't do that right now. I know it seems like I could do that right now, but like I'm kind of like overloaded. I need a minute. We can do this later. So like pushing pause. But I guess that the difference is like you were the one taking everything on. So you were actually the one that needed to be like, you know what? I can't have you wait right now.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I just wasn't able to like communicate that.
Well,
to
you
him.
Were like, it was like all racking up because you're like, surely he's going to do that really soon because it's easy.
Yeah. Like I had like CJ never kept a calendar until like a week ago.
I don't keep a calendar because Shauna does it.
Yeah.
This is the way like we make each other mentally ill. Like we like take away duties from each other.
To CJ's credit, he does like during that time when I was like, you're not doing anything. My elbow fell. He was doing kind little like gestures for me, but I was so stressed that
like
I wasn't
making
even
one of those like hand things, like pick a color.
Exactly. And I was like, four. I guess,
you're gonna have three boyfriends, babe. Yeah.
So he was doing kind things for me, but I was so stressed I wasn't able to notice them.
Yeah.
And so then I was just like, oh, okay, well, I'm doing everything. Of course you can like do those four things. Yeah. And so then he felt like he had no value because he was like, oh, okay, but I did this and now you're screaming and gronking my computer.
Yeah.
So do you, but in the like, in the circle of our relationship right now, he is doing more than me. Like, it just got to the point where I was like, can you just like send an email without me having to tell you to do it? And now he does it.
Yeah.
Like he, and I was starting to get very frustrated too, because people, women were coming up to me and being like, you just have to train him. And it's like, well, I don't want to train him. Like I have shit to do.
Yeah.
I can't train this grown man.
Also, it's really interesting because they're within the pink and the blue, there's just been these like two-dimensional cartoonish ways of like, well, the boys don't know anything,
right,
and the girls know everything. And it's like, if you harden into that, that's it, it's pretty miserable. It's like funny comedically to be
like,
it's
a self-fulfilling prophecy if you do it.
Yeah. So like, I think about it because I do think like in my relationship with Shauna, it is, I've like said on stage before, it's like, we're like lesbian king of queens, where it's like, when's this girl gonna decide what to wear? Like, there are definitely like male female stereotypes within our relationship, but at the same time, like fundamentally, she respects me and knows that I can like make decisions on my own and like put an outfit together on my own, even though she's the one that usually would choose what I wear.
Right. Like, I can't do, I'm so terrible with technology, and some of that too is like, I just like CJ like showing me something.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. It's like, nice to be like, that's your role, you take care of that for me. I'm gonna lift the heavy luggage into the car.
But I go 0 to 60 on everything. Like, he's just like, what
60 is a moderate speed.
It's okay. But I try to not go 0 to 6. What's tough,
well, the 0 to 60, I think the thing that like takes you up the therapy floors of the bad house that you built is like, just had to bring it back because I thought it was pretty good.
It was a really good metaphor. But I mean, if it's today, an 8-story house, it's like a pretty cool house.
Girl, my anxiety's got money, honey. I got mortgages.
When I'm at the top of my veranda, looking out on my property, yelling at the workers.
I see the pond that is also within the acreage that I own.
Unfortunately, what I do a lot with CJ too is like, we were friends for 8 years before we started dating.
Yeah.
So we'll be in fights sometimes and I'm like, you knew who I was.
Yeah.
You knew what you were signing up for. And you know what? You liked it.
Oh,
you gotta pay to play, baby. And now you're paying to play. You know, I get real.
And he's
like,
so glad you're back in therapy.
I can't change who I am for you. And he's like, okay, but can you just not scream about a hostess? And I'm like, you knew who I was from the day I was born.
How dare you pick her side? I'm not on her side, babe. I just think,
but then he also like lived in a pizza bed when we knew each other, so it's like, I knew who he was too.
Yeah.
He's a man who lives in a shoe and eats pizza and wears cartoon hats. Like, we both knew, but we were like, I like it.
Yeah, I guess there's like that changes things too, the 8 years before the marriage. But the thing that, what I mean of the, like, the thing that puts you on the escalator up the stairs is this idea that like, oh my God, it's this forever. It's like the panic of like, oh shit, like I'm going to be with a man that can't text pie flavors with it.
I don't think it's sunk in that CJ and I are together forever yet.
Well, you might want to tell him.
No, because I'm just like, day by day is great. I love it. I take
day by day is for sure great.
No, yeah. I know we're going to be together forever. And I think of him as old. And it's like, I have a joke now about how we're going to like age differently. You know, he's going to look great and I'm going to look terrible. Like, that's actually like, that was what made me realize we were going to be together forever.
Sweet Irish woman adopted a very, very young
man. No, I'm like, he's going to look like my caregiver, you know, like just this Filipino nurse taking care of this potato head.
What do we get for that?
Excellent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank excellent.
You.
Okay. That's so funny.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
So I have thought about us being together forever in our old people love.
I've considered it.
Yeah, when we got married, I signed a 1-year contract. And then, we got to send in our marriage certificate. I haven't even done that yet.
To who?
The government.
Oh, all right.
To Gavin Newsom. He's got to get it.
Gavin's going to?
Yeah, he's got a stamp on it.
All right. Well, I love you.
My friend, this is, you may like this. When we went to get our, I was like, oh, we have to go get our marriage license. And my dear friend, Francie, she got married in Indiana. She is white. Her husband is white. She was like, they asked us like 5 times if we were brother and sister. Like the whole point of you having to go get a marriage license in Indiana is for them to figure out if you're related. And then like CJ and I go and get ours. And at one point I was like, we're not related. And the woman's like, okay.
Duh bitch.
I can tell.
I've got eyes. I wanted to ask you, because you and I both are writers, mm-hmm. and we've both sold scripts, and I wanted to ask you about like how your journey into that started. I feel like it started with like a meeting where someone was like, you've got ideas for shows, right? Like,
yeah, I think it started, I remember my manager was like, you should go. I had ideas that I wanted to do, but I had never like thought about writing a show in any capacity.
Like you didn't have final draft or?
No. Yeah. I didn't have final draft. I didn't like know about an outline. Like I didn't know anything. And so I went and met with this guy. My manager set me up on like a business date mm-hmm. with a guy. And within like 10 minutes, we realized that we both came from families with Alzheimer's, and he was a writer.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I think we should write a show about Alzheimer's. Like I would love to work on that with you. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And so then we worked on it, and I had like kind of worked on a show with another friend loosely. And like my agents were like, this is great, whatever. We're not going there. And so we didn't
stop sending us these files.
With
big,
yeah, exactly. With the Alzheimer's one, we never wrote like the script. It was just like I guess what we were working on was a pitch doc, but I didn't know that. Yeah. Like I truly was just along for the Hollywood ride.
Like, and let me know when the checks arrive.
And then we went into our managers and, you know, pitched it to them, almost did sort of like a practice pitch with them. And then they were like, okay, I think you're ready to go out. And I was like, where are we going? And they're like, you're going to sell the show. And I was very confused. And so
like, I thought this
then
was
we
just...
started, and like my first time was like a very traditional process. Like we went to production companies or like EPs. Uh-huh. And then once we had an EP, we went to a studio. And then once we had the studio, we went to the network. And at the EP level, at the studio level, I kept being like, now do we get paid? Like I am so confused. And I learned you do not get
ever.
Paid until
you never get
the
paid.
Network. And then sometimes yeah. you get paid even after the show yeah. is not picked up.
Yeah.
And so it was and then we got paid to write the show basically.
Yes.
And we had a really wonderful experience doing it. I mean, it was devastating when it didn't happen because it was something we were
so
both
personal.
Very emotionally connected to.
Yeah.
And my grandmother has since passed, and that's very much who the show
you,
is about.
You like connected it with like
yes.
her.
Yes. And so that was
legacy.
Something too. That's actually something I'm talking about in therapy, you know,
yeah.
like, and then this past year,
I think that's like just a quick jump in. Like that's like a really sort of interesting, it's like, again, like this high stakes, low stakes thing where
yeah.
it's like, you've got to really like approach it as if the stakes are high and like put all this love into it and then be completely fine when the outcome is that it's dead.
And I was not like,
but
ready
I think
for
also
that.
With like this, the legacy of your grandma and the story and the character that you built and that you like honed for that project is never dead.
Exactly. And that's sort of what I had to learn.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. It also had just been like such smooth sailing.
Yes.
And then when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, I just was not prepared.
Yeah.
And then this year we sold another show and it did not happen. You know, same sort of process.
I mean, it must be so funny for these executives to be like, let's just bury this script here. Yeah, we'd love to buy it. Like,
yeah.
let's bury it here. It's like, that's usually what you're doing is for people listening, we're talking about like, there's basically these seasons in LA, and people are buying, and they're and they buy like way
hundreds
more. They
like
buy hundreds, and then you're one of the 100 people that sold a show, and you're sort of imagining your life and like season 3 of the show, and kind of casting it in your mind.
I mean, Shauna and I have tried on outfits before and have been like up front.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm on red carpets. Yes. I'm at the Golden Globes,
because
and people are wondering why.
Because the trippy about this is that you negotiate like to a T, and like literally you negotiate like merch for the show before they've decided whether they're going to ever pick up a camera to shoot any part of it.
And so, you know your title.
You know your pay jump. You know like what you're wearing to upfronts 4 years from now.
Yeah.
So that's a tough part.
And then they end up picking up like two.
Then literally they end up shooting like half of one.
Last year they shot, the network I was with, I think shot one.
Yeah, same with me.
Out of the comedies.
Same with me.
And so this year I was like much more prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out like 2 weeks ago it was a no. And we're already
getting ready for the next year.
And that's kind of, and that's like a cycle that I feel okay with now. I like understand it. I enjoy it.
It's the opposite of the choke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like really preparing.
Moving with the flow. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah. That one's not working. All right. So we're so we're still having fun.
And I tried to cry this year. We were like, we were at the grocery store like buying stuff for the Super Bowl. And I was like, CJ, I'm going to need a minute. And I like went and stood by the like Vaughn's Starbucks, and I couldn't even squeeze a tear out. Like I just was, I just understood the system better.
You've been through it. Yeah.
And both times I was like, listen, I love our script.
Yeah.
That's the best you can do is feel like you wrote something that you're really proud of and that you think is good.
Yeah.
And there's so many other factors. Like they're just, it's a total crapshoot, and you just have to go into it with like no expectations except for the expectation of, I want to create something good.
Yeah. Well, it's really been useful. I'm sure you've felt this too, like working behind the scenes on shows as a writer, like behind the camera after for so long, you know, sending in self-tapes and walking into audition rooms and wondering like what it is that went wrong. A, there's like an aspect to it that's like, oh shit, like there's certain things people do in auditions that polish them and make them pop. And that's been really useful for me. But also like there's an element of it that's very, very, very much like literally the person that's going to get cast for this part worked with the director last year is, you know, like there's like, there's nothing like, for instance, like for this podcast, like people have written being like, I'd like to be a guest on the podcast. It's like, probably never, babe. Like it's just going to be Megan who's down the road just, and we're going to have coffee and it's just the way that it works. Right. I mean, keep writing in. I like the power.
I'm sure if there's a U.S. Women's National player writing in, you could,
don't get your
exception.
Panties all in a bunch. Don't get your panties all in a bunch.
I wish I
could. Hello, it's me, Sabrina, and my friend,
Megan.
It's coming to the end. Have you learned anything?
What the fuck?
I think you've experienced some.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
And we certainly gave you some.
Hollywood scoop, 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 scoop,
and we
Hollywood
definitely,
scoop.
Shut your ears if you don't have one, it's baby talk.
And we for sure.
Now for your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom.
So it's certainly time to
call your mommy.
I'm chatting with Ursula.
Great.
Next. Bye, Megan. Bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye. I love you. You're
I love
so
you
good.
Too.
Oh, look up Megan and be obsessed with her.
Oh, yeah, please. Listen, you can listen to my podcast with my husband.
Listen to the podcast with her husband called?
The Greatest.
The Greatest. Listen to, look up her late night set.
Oh, yeah, please.
Called?
The Tonight Show.
And definitely.
Oh, I have an album too.
She's got an album called?
My Dad Paid for This.
That's right. And he did. Bye, guys.
Hi, Dina.
Well, hello, Mother.
How are you?
Oh, I've been better. I'm thinking about ending it all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me, okay. I'm going to cheer you up a little bit, okay?
Okay.
I just bought this little book, and it's called Less is More.
Less is More. All right.
101 ways to simplify your life. Maybe you need to simplify your life a little bit.
Do you think that I have an overly complicated life?
We all have. Everybody has very complicated life now.
I guess the more if you compare it to
you know, how people used to live, like, our life is very complicated.
Okay, tell me how to simplify.
It says less is more, except when it comes to love, and then more is more. Okay?
Is that the full book?
It has, okay, the book is really very cute. On one side, there's a little saying, usually by somebody famous, like, or a poem. And then on the other side, they discuss a subject. Okay? For instance, the first one says, on your left, your time is limited, so don't waste it by trying to live someone else's life.
Yeah, you psycho.
Steve Jobs said that. And then on the right, live your life.
Okay, let's turn to the listener and explain that. Are you trying to live someone else's life, you psycho? You psychotic listener of the Goody Goody? Stop it, okay? Stop it. Wear your clothes. Say the things that you're thinking. Live the life you feel in your heart. Okay, go ahead, Mom.
On the next two pages is on the left. Take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. It makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
And then on the right, it says learn to stop. For instance, when you feel the urge to overindulge, be that with food, alcohol, or simply overdoing the good times, stop and remind yourself that the pleasure will be short-lived, but the payback will last much longer.
The a minute on the lips, and healthy a life lifetime on the lips.
And then doing it, okay?
All right. Well, picture this. You got three scoops of ice cream. You got a mango. You got a cheesecake. You got a cookie dough crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you eat?
Okay. I would try a little bit of each one.
None of them. Okay?
Listen, no. Bina, listen. I always feel like you can have a bite of a chocolate bar, or you can eat the whole chocolate bar, and at the end you have the exactly same
taste
in your
mouth. Or you can melt six chocolate bars and pour them down your throat.
So, you know, really,
yeah, but
you don't need to eat the whole chocolate bar.
Yeah, but there's something in us that wants to just gorge. Do you know that in the olden days they had rooms that were for just puking after you, like, ate up a storm? It was so that you could puke so you could keep eating? Ugh. What a great time to live.
Okay, here is a saying for Shauna from Coco Chanel.
Ooh.
It says, simplicity is the keynote of all true elegance.
Ooh.
And I'm sure that's used in fashion a lot.
Ooh,
and then
mama.
On the right side, spring clean your style.
Mom, do you want to get that tattooed to our lower backs together, matching? Simplicity.
No, I'm not having any tattoos. Forget about it. No tattoos.
What
for
if
me.
I paid you $100,000 to get a tattoo?
No, I'm not getting a
Mom,
tattoo.
Mom, $100,000, you could give that to a charity.
I am not getting a tattoo,
girl,
okay?
You are crazy in your mind if you're not accepting $100,000 to tattoo. Elegance is the keystone of stylistic simplicity. On your behind your earlobe in Sanskrit.
No. Okay, here's another one, Bina.
I got another tattoo.
Okay. I saw it. I'm not happy about that. Okay. Listen now. Those who have no time for healthy eating will sooner or later have to find time for illness. And then on the right side, it says read the label. Like, read the label on the food that you eat.
Okay. Well, that's, like, annoying for someone who's not well.
Balanced relationships are always based in freedom, not obligation.
Do you feel free or obliged to my father?
Free.
You feel free?
Yeah.
I feel free too. Mostly because my wife hasn't talked to me in 6 months.
Okay.
I can do whatever I want.
There is one for Shauna.
Oh,
have nothing in your houses that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. And then on the right side, pretend it's spring and do spring cleaning.
All right. Well, good luck with that. You might need to burn the house down. Pretend it's fire season.
It says, on the next one is, you can still go shopping without buying because where buying is a matter of need, shopping is a question of want. So and, you can go window
shopping.
And because
shopping. Daddy went to the casino and it's going to be a long winter. Mom?
Men are not great or small because of their material possessions. They're
it's
great
all
or
penis
small
size, baby.
Because of what they are. What they are.
In
okay?
Their
Believe
dick.
In yourself
in their dick.
Is
in
the
their
thing.
Dick. What
it's
they
a
are
good little book,
dick.
But I thought Tanzila will enjoy it.
Okay, Mom, not only did Tanzila enjoy it, I enjoyed it, America enjoyed it, and certainly Brazil, my number one demographic of country listening. Thank you so much, Brazil, for being the number one country listener. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you it's called Less is More by Dominic Bertolucci.
By Dominic
okay,
Bertolucci, or you case. Can go on over to Instagram and just hashtag memes, hashtag inspirational quotes. Okay?
Okie dokie. Bye.
Dominic
Bye,
also
Dina.
Is just stealing all these quotes from Coco Chanel. Oh boy, Dominic. Okay. Mommy, I love you. Yeah. I unfortunately cannot speak to you for the next 3 to 4 years. I'm on a therapeutic hiatus from my parental relationships in an effort to individualize.
Yeah. I'll remember that when you call me next time.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.